Sean, and this is episode 7 of Sean Hammer. Now, my apologies go out first to a listener out there named Brave Blowfish. I meant to give him a shout out last week, but I forgot to write down his iTunes identity. So, hey, thanks, Brave Blowfish, for the good iTunes review. If anyone wishes to leave an iTunes review for the show, please go ahead, and it's actually appreciated. And as well as contact me, you know, I'm going to say it again. Here's my local plug for my website. I mean, for my email is seanhammer9@yahoo.com. Just give me a call. Let me know what I'm doing right. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. Or let me know what you want to hear. Well, let's get on to the show. First of all, apologies again go out to the fantasy players. This week, not going to touch much on it. Not going to do it. I have the new Tales of Battle. I know I promised you a Skaven army review. I'm doing a little bit more research before I go over to Skaven, and I got the new Tales of Battle. This is the independent GT magazine. Really good magazine. It's actually extended about 32. It's now 32 pages instead of 5. Neat pictures, good articles, but we'll get into that next time. As well as the Skaven. Today I bring the 40k players, Planet Strike. Now I know this has been out for a while and everyone's all like, oh, you're just doing Planet Strike. But hey, bear with me guys. This is new to me, so I'm putting it out to you. We'll go over it here in a second. What have I done this week in Warhammer? Well, I wasn't so badly addicted to Star Wars this week, but there was Magic the Gathering that took a little bit of time yesterday. I started painting Canis Wolfborn. Lovely model, pain in the butt to paint. I'll get some pictures up on my battalion, because I don't know if I can put them up on this website right now or not, or if I have to upgrade the website. But that's pretty much it for my 40k week, except for yesterday. I played a game of 40k in a very long time, matter of fact. I played 1,000-point Space Wolf Army. Give a little bit of try about what I would do and stuff. And a buddy of mine, he played some Sisters of Battle. It didn't look so promising in the beginning for me, but it worked out pretty good. I ended up taking 2 units of Grey Hunters, one with a plasma gun, one with a melted gun. The one character who can take a power weapon. I took a unit of 5 scouts, one with a melted gun. The little usual upgrades for that. And that's it for my regular troops that I took. I only took 2 troops and 1 HQ. I mean, 1 elite. For my HQ choices, I did take Canis Wolfborn. We'll get to him in a moment. And I took Bjorn the Fell-Handed. I ended up going up against 2 units of 12 Sisters of Battle, an Inquisitor unit with a little acolytes and warrior things, so this guy was a little bit immune to stuff. He had an Immolator with a Retribution squad and an Immolator with a Dominion squad, I think is what it was. And I think that's all I was looking at. Well, anyway, ended up going okay for some odd reason. My power armor didn't save too much against a buttload of flamers he shot against me. My scouts I knew were dead. I ran out. I got the reserve roll, and I actually came up on his side. I immobilized his Immolator. And so therefore, I effectively took that out of the game because he only had the template weapon range. And my scouts were toast. All but 3, 1 unit of Grey Hunters were toast. My other Grey Hunter unit ran towards bunker, fed out some rapid fire shots. But the game is 100% won to first Canis Wolfborn, who ran up and just decimated his Inquisitor unit. The guy is a beast, on a beast. Ended up getting shot. He was taken down to 1 wound in the close combat, and just shot out. I took a lone wolf too. He was man of the game. He destroyed a tank, finished up an Inquisitor unit, put put the hurt down on the remaining Sisu battle unit. He was pretty decent. And but Bjorn fell handed. I mean, as far as Dreadnoughts go, the model itself has always had a special place in my heart. Because I just think he's the coolest Dreadnought there is. I wish he was a bit beefier, somehow taller or something. But he's got the close combat weapon. I don't know why anyone would exchange the assault cannon for Laz gun, but to each his own. He's got the heavy flamer. He rushes in on a charge for 5 attacks for Dreadnought. That's freaking phenomenal. He's venerable, and he's got a ward save of Russ or something like that. And he ended up wiping out through a couple things, and it was actually a really good game towards the end for me, but not so much in the beginning. A friend of mine, like I said, was playing Sisters of Battle. Halfway through the game, he remembered he got faith points. He tried using them. Didn't make one roll for his faith points. I don't know if that would have made a difference in the game or not, but hey. But like I said, it was a rough game to start out with. But in the end, I ended up doing really well. Took him out to the man, or the woman, in that fact. But that was about it. And that's my week in Warhammer. I'm going to do now, once I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, then I'm going to go through the Planet Strike Codex a little bit. I haven't really fully gone over 100%, checked out everything there is to it. I hope to be playing a game in it pretty soon, so I can go a little bit more with you guys then. But we'll be right back in one moment.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Fort Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, here we are and back after this short little commercial break. For all of you that are hearing a type of bass thumping in the background, that's my daughter doing dishes downstairs, and she's happening to be listening to Hollywood Undead, and she likes to listen to it loud when she's cleaning the house. Go figure. 11-year-old girl. I guess I should be a little bit more critical about what I let her listen to, but a lot of it's censored, so I guess we're not too bad. Now I bring you Planet Strike. My views on it first. I don't know. I was really let down with Cities of Death. I thought that a City Fight Army book, Codex, whatever you want to talk about, would be a really good thing, and they kind of botched that up. So now I'm looking at Planet Strike, and it has a couple of the same general guidelines that Cities of Death has with the stratagems and stuff like that. Unless you're playing someone intelligent and easy to get along with, I suggest you do not play this with them. But let's start into it. It's a nice looking book. Of course, the artwork's great. Games Workshop does a really good job on that. It goes into how do you play Planet Strike. And it goes through a little list, little Planet Strike launch procedure. You're going to determine who's the attacker, who's the defender. You can choose your forces. You're going to select a Planet Strike mission. You can prepare the battlefield, which will be done by the defending player, just so everyone knows. Determine objectives. These are going to usually be buildings in areas of high importance. Attacker prepares invasion. Everyone determines stratagems. Defender deploys its forces first. The attacker launches a firestorm, which is a preliminary bombardment, basically. And then you launch Planet Strike. That's the general term for everything. I mean, the turn, I don't know. The beginning of the game, that's what you do before you play, dang it. Let's see. We got that, then it goes through how to deploy different things when you're attacking. Units that always enter the play from the drop zone are vehicles, bikes, artillery, beasts, and cavalry. And units that may enter the play from drop zones or by deep strike are infantry, jump infantry, monstrous creatures, jet bikes, and vehicles that have the deep strike special rules. And we're going to go into all that. We're going to touch a little bit on the firestorm. After the defender has deployed, the attacker may make any firestorm attacks anywhere upon the table. The number is determined by rolling a d6 and adding the number of objectives. Like an example, so you got two objectives and you roll a d6 and you roll a 4 and you add 2, and that means you're going to have 6 firestorm attacks. You're going to use the large barrage template, strength 9, AP 3. Of course, you get your cover saves, I believe. We'll see then. Then after that's all done shooting, and you launch the planet strike. Let's see. It's got a couple rules. What table edges you start from. Planet fall missions. Defenders overview and ending the game. And determining the victor. A defeating unit controls objectives, the base contact, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that when I play this game. I'm going to try and take notes of everything and go over the rules with everyone a little bit better. And I hope to do that probably this week. I'm going to try it this week. One thing you will not see from me, though, I will not play a giant apocalypse game for Planet Strike. I don't necessarily agree with apocalypse. I think it's horribly wrong. I think they took the best, you could have, as Imperial Guard player, you could have a Baneblade before. Now you can only have one if it's an apocalypse. I mean, it's just let's sell more models, get people interested in playing these giant games. And I understand the giant games are fun. But sometimes it's just too much if you're by yourself on one side trying to control up to about 3,000, 4,000 points. The unique thing in Planet Strike I found out is the terrain. You have your bastions, bastions or whatever. Those are like your towers. They have armor value of 14, and which is cool. None of this comes out of the defending player's point value. Kind of like when you're playing Siege and Warhammer. I knew I said it was going to bring Warhammer up. But the defender's at half points because he's in the castle. There is no half points for the defending player. And you get free defensive terrain and stuff. So it's pretty decent in that matter. The bastions always have armor value of 14. They usually have fire points, at least one. At least 3 of their sides has access point door. They can contain a single infantry unit of any size, plus any independent character infantry that accompanies the unit. when you attack a bastion, as with other buildings, they treat stun results and shaken results. As with other buildings, bastions treat stun results and shaken results instead. An immobilized result is always treated as weapon destroyed. The unit inside the bastion cannot be assaulted unless the bastion is ruined, so the attackers will do well to bring some bunker-busting weaponry, is what it says. Well, duh. You're going on a planet strike mission on planets, especially in the 40K realm, consists of large hive-type spires and different weapons and fortresses, and if you're an attacker and don't bring something that can break at least a tank, or at least got a chance to do it, you're an idiot. But besides that, the bastion has guns. It has one on each side, and it can be chosen between a las cannon with standard las cannon stats or a heavy bolter with same as heavy bolter stats. They're all done at weapon skill 2 because it's automated weaponry. That's about it there. There's some stuff that you can have when you get a bastion, which is comm relays, which helps you reroll reserves. And then it's got some pictures of the bastions. Really cool. I will give it to this for Cities of Death. The freaking buildings are awesome looking. And I think I went off on a previous episode about how awesome the Fortress Redemption is going to be and how I will own it and somehow convert a giant wolf head on top so it looks similar to the Thundercat Castle off Thundercats. But anyway, the defending player can also have interceptor guns. I believe they get one for every... Oh my lord, I'm going brain dead. Anyway, for every, not stratagem, but what's that word I was just looking for? God, people, this is Sunday, and obviously I needed more sleep today. Anyway, objectives. Whew, that took a while to get out. Intercepting guns are rare, complex artifacts, blah, blah, blah. They can't always, they gotta be wordy so they can make the book thicker. And you can have a quad gun that gives you, 48 inches, strength 7, AP 4, heavy 4, twin linked interceptor, and Icarus or Icarus last cannon, 96 inches, strength 9, AP 2, heavy 1 interceptor. Interceptor guns are meant to shoot incoming drop troops, and instead of shooting in the shooting phase at the end of the enemy movement phase, each gun with interceptor special rule may fire once at any unit that is deployed by deep strike within their range and line of sight. This can include units deployed by a vehicle with a deep strike rule. This free shot can cause morale tests as normal and stuff like that. Pretty cool. I mean, it's just so you can see we got kind of like an anti-aircraft weaponry here. Next we have defensive lines. These are these cool little walls that came in with the... I don't know if they came with the Bastion set or not. They're little setup walls. As an Imperial Guard player, I will have many, many of these, even if I'm not playing Planet Strike, just because they will be on the battlefield. They give you a 4+ cover save. Any unit going aground behind it gains 2 to its cover save instead of the 1. And for purposes of assault models in base contact with the defense line within 2 inches of each other are treated as being in base contact. So there's no little trying to say, oh, you got to roll for difficult ground to assault me and stuff like that. They covered that up with that. These Aegis line shields, pretty cool. I like them. Next, you need a unique piece of scenery that you find in Planet Strike is landing pads. You would ask me probably about 4 weeks ago if I was ever going to have a landing pad. I laugh at you and say, what do I need a landing pad? Stupid. But now I have a Valkyrie gunship. And I'm painting it. Well, started to. It's one of those models you gotta... If you're an idiot and you want to paint the whole inside before you put it together so everything opens up and you have this really sweet-ass looking gunship, you gotta paint it pretty much before you glue it together. And, well, truth behold, here I am. The landing pad can alter its pad's configuration, giving it shielded or unfurled. Shielded means the little things are up on the side, it's like little shields. It grants a 4+ invulnerable save to any model on the landing pad itself. That's including, actually, the gunships and anything that might be on it. You can still land on it and disembark without hindrance. Now, if you unfurl it, the shields are switched off. The landing pad does not provide invulnerable save, but because it's even easier to land a craft upon the pad, it has its shields down. If landing pad is unfurled when a vehicle with a transport capacity sets down upon it, the vehicle's passengers may disembark freely, no matter how fast the vehicle moved that turn. I haven't really messed a lot with the Valkyries, but that could be good. It's a neat-looking piece of scenery, but up until, like I said, 4 weeks ago, I had no idea. Next is the Unbombable Fortress. This would be perhaps a Fortress of Redemption. I don't know if this, the Fortress of Redemption, actually has these large freaking Dark Angel statues on the side of it, but mine will change. Like I said, it will be kind of like a Thunderwolf castle. Maybe I'll put some paws or something on it. Pretty much same as treating it as 3 independent bastions. They each have their fire ports. They have missile silos and las cannon, which I like to call Star Wars, the ion cannon. Sweet looking defensive piece. I'm going to give it to 40K over top of Warhammer. They do have the nicer scenery. I don't care. I mean, it's, for my opinion, it's nicer. I know you can buy the nice houses and the plastic forest with the flat tops and stuff, and they all look cool. But I think the 40K train pretty much beats it. Oh, and I meant to actually put it in, speaking of train and abilities, when you're doing your little firestorm attack, if you have a spot that hits an open ground, you can put a crater there, and it's up to the attacker whether they want to leave it there or not. I believe it causes some difficult terrain movement, and you can also use cover. The book is filled with a lot of good-looking pictures. I mean, just the stuff you can do with the Imperial Bastions is pretty cool. You can stack them on top of each other. You can make them smaller. You can make a giant freaking wall with independent sections of it, which they did. In one of the pictures, brilliant. Some of this stratagem you can have is a low down dirty trick, which is basically an escape hatch that comes out anywhere you want. It goes into the scratch built terrain, a little bit of Eldar, some orcs, blah blah blah. Like, my love is Imperial Guard, Demon Hunters, and Space Wolves. I don't really care. They put all the fields of battle pictures on top of the new Games Workshop table that you can spray, flock, paint, and stuff, which I own, which I put some pictures up somewhere. I'll let you guys know where all these pictures are. Fantastic looking table. I haven't set up anything in my basement yet, but I will, and it will include that table specifically. Then they go crazy and put like two of the tables together. Then we're getting into the stratagems and stuff. And probably what I'll do is I'll make up an army, and I'll probably do probably Defender, and I'll talk my buddy Brian into playing a game of Planet Strike with me. We'll call it quits for today. We'll continue the Planet Strike. I'll go over the stratagems, what I took, my army lists, what my buddy Brian took, his stratagems, and I'll walk you through the game, and I'll let you know how the thing of Planet Strike went. But that's just a little bit of a taste for it. I don't want to get too bogged down reading out everything, but I will next episode, and then I'll go through the ones, I'll mark which ones I took, and I'll let you know how everything went and what scenario we played. Hopefully this plays out to be a good supplement for 40K, and it's a lot of fun to play. Like I said, I was upset a little bit with Cities of Death, because I love city fighting. I don't see too many farm battles out in the future happening, but hey, maybe there are. So we'll continue with this. It'll probably be Imperial Guard, either versus Sisters of Battle or Crimson Fists. I hope it's not Space Marines, but Sisters of Battle aren't too much far difference than Space Marines anyway. Well, I'd like to make one little note. On the website, you notice a link to the Raygun Girls. It goes right to their homepage. You can check out some more of their music. And I'll leave you guys today again with a song, Look At Me by the Raygun Girls. It's a song I use for my title of my podcast, or the podcast theme song, I should say. And I'd like to give a thank you to them for allowing me to use this song. And I'd like to give a big thank you to you guys for spending this half an hour a day or whatever, whenever you listen to me. Thank you. I mean, I appreciate you guys listening. And like I said, you got any questions, if I'm doing something wrong, you say, Sean, you kind of ticked me off when you did this, I'm not going to know unless you shoot me an email. I mean it. I mean, I'm looking at my email twice a day. I'm getting nothing. I've only got one iTunes review from a Brave Blowfish, which I'm still waiting on an email from you so I can send you a little bit of prize support that I have saved up. And until next time, you guys enjoy the tune, and next episode will either be Skaven or a continuation of Planet Strike. And till next time, thank you, and talk to you soon.